Father, we thank you. We give you, Lord, praise, glory for the word, the entrance of your word. We declare brings light and gives understanding. We receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. I am still on the subject of the word of God, the efficacy of the word of God from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We have covered, the part of the word of God being used to separate asunder between soul and spirit. We've also covered a part of the word of God that can, go in our hearts, culture the heart, to become more like the divine nature by revealing to us things that are not exactly in line with the word of God through introspection when we read or hear the word of God. We've covered that. Today I want to cover using the word of God, bring healing and experience abundant living. That's right. All of these are contained in that one short verse in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. And it is powerful. It is also sharper than any two-edged sword. Think about that. A two-edged sword can be really sharp. But this scripture says that the word of God is sharper than even that. And piercing to the dividing asunder. It can slice, pierce, cut. It can cut things off. It can be like a pruning, pair of scissors. It can cut things off. It can slice. It can dissect, The dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and I dare say the bones as well, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. That's a scripture. One verse is just loaded. It's loaded. And how did we get to that one verse? Actually, it all started out, if you read it from the beginning of the chapter, it all started out by, some warnings, that the Holy Spirit is giving. Let us therefore fear lest certain promises be left us of entering into his rest. We should, any of us should fall short of it, due to unbelief. Unbelief is the reason why we might fall short of anything that the Lord has promised. For though unto us, was the gospel preached, and the gospel is still being preached. Every time we do these lessons, it's all still part of the gospel. Because we explained that the other day. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody, teaching them to observe these things that I myself have taught you. So when we bring this teaching, reminding us of the things, instructions that are given in scripture, it's part of the gospel. So the gospel is being preached unto us as it was unto those folks in those days. But to them, the word that was preached to them was not, it didn't profit them anything because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it, Now, so when we hear the word of God, it's got to be mixed with faith. Now, it's interesting because this same word is what's supposed to bring faith. And yet, it says, look, if this word doesn't generate faith, it doesn't profit anything. So today's aspect, the third aspect that I want to deal with in this verse 12 of Hebrews 4 is using God's word to bring healing and to experience abundant living. That's what we want to talk about today. Praise the Lord. Well, how can the scriptures do that though? Well, let's think about it and let's talk about it. There are many, in fact, among all the things that the scriptures promise us, healing is one aspect that has so many verses of scripture behind it. Promises, powerful promises. We're going to consider a few. Joints and marrows. That's even bones and things like that inside of us. Marrow, you know, you think of the marrow as the factory for the red blood cell. Science tells us that. Some white blood cells might even be made there, but generally speaking, you know, manufacture these life-giving red cells, you know, red blood cells, being the bones, the marrows, you know, marrow, like, you know, the inside of bones like that. You know, so let's think about it and consider why the word of God can be effective in those areas. You know, so let's think about what the marrow might mean. According to the dictionary, it says the marrow is that nutrient-rich tissue, you know, inside bone cavities. So when you're talking about marrow, you're also talking about bones. Science even talks about bone marrow. You know, instead of just saying marrow, they'll say bone marrow. Sometimes they have what they call bone marrow transplant and etc. You know, most of you may have heard that phrase. You know, so it's, what does it do? Well, producing blood cells. You know, manufacture. It's like a, you know, I mean, this our God is just amazing. You know, the way that God has designed this human body, this, it can just take care of itself. You know, it can rejuvenate, replenish itself over the lifetime of that person. I mean, God has already put in that body the stuff to do that. God doesn't need to constantly create the body again. He already done it. He put it there. The body can sustain itself. Things that the body needs, like rest and sleep and so on, you know, and even other external factors, you know, can affect the body, either positively or negatively, you know. External factors like stress can bring the body into a place where it has to work harder to overcome that stress. You know, and, but when there is, no evil occurrence, you know, like Solomon said, God had given him peace and no evil occurrence, you know, a place, we're in a place of harmony, we're in a place of joy, you know, can actually reflect on the body as well. You know, so let's talk about this marrow. And the bones, joints, and all of these things. We can see that we know that without these structures, bones and marrows, you know, the body would just be a flab, you know, fall apart. You know, these are the things that hold the body in place. You know, what gives our arms the shape that it, you know, the arm has, and the bones, the structures, the joints, and so forth. Your elbows, joints are there, shoulders, knees, all these things. They have their functions. This God is great. It puts stuff in there to replenish itself. If we get enough sleep, if we eat right, if we think right even, because, you know, what's in our heart, we dealt with that yesterday, and that's going to affect the body. So all these things are in the body, and the Lord already put them there. And we have to discover another element that's not necessarily in the body, but that you can send there. That's right. That's what I want to talk about today. You know, what you can send into your body, you know, to cause refreshing, to bring healing, to bring recovery. It's called the Word of God. In the book of Psalm 107, verse 20, this scripture is so powerful. You know, Psalm 105 and 6 and 7 have been talking about, you know, the things that happen in the life of the children of Israel, their journeys and their struggles and different things and so forth. But this one verse, powerful. The Lord sent his word and healed them. Now, if you can understand that word, now remember, he did it then, he can do it again, and you yourself can do the same thing that God did. We can send the word of God into our own body. That's right. Speak to your body. You're just like David used to speak to his soul. My soul, what you distressed? You know, why? Why are you disquieted? Why this and this? Habakkuk, the rest of them, Micah, they spoke to their souls. But we can speak to our body. Remember, the flesh, the soul, they unite sometimes against the spirit. So we got to put them in a place and take that word that we use to divide between the soul and the spirit and send it also into the body. Glory to God. You send it into the body. Just like God did. I mean, the word of God carries the ability to bring healing. We see that in the scriptures. And we're going to look at some verses of scripture, you know, that directly speak to that. You know, this first one, the Lord sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You know, that means even the thing that is destroying your body, like cancer, whatever, you know, diabetes or what have you, that, you know, destroying high blood pressure, all these things that are destroying the body, the word of God can bring healing and also deliverance. It says, brought healing and deliverance to them, the word of God. Now, this healing, there's some natural healing processes and mechanisms that the Lord has put into the body. But you can give it a turbo boost, help with the word of God. You know, I have noticed that, you know, when you get, I mean, if the body is functioning right, when you get a cut in your hand or somewhere, you know, because of the way God has put things in the body, naturally, the body will heal itself. Now, if the body is not able to heal itself, then there is a problem. And, you know, there are certain white blood cells that can help in recovery or even prevention of certain infections and fight those things and so on. But if the body cannot respond properly, there's a problem. And science come up with ways to help the so-called immune system that can fight some of these things. And if you get a cut, a simple cut that doesn't heal you know, maybe it should close up, heal within its, you know, by itself, as long as you keep the cut clean and so on. These are the little things they teach us in hygiene and science. Keep the cut clean, protect it from external infection and so forth, you know, cover it up. It should heal itself in a matter of days, sometimes even hours. But if it goes unhealed, and that's a problem in the immune system, if people are prone to catching all kinds of infections, that may be a problem in their defense systems that God has put in the body. I mean, every time you're around somebody that is sick, you get sick. You catch something from them. There's a problem there, you know. And then when you catch the thing, it doesn't go away for a long time. There's a problem there, you know. So, or you get a little, you know, cut or a little infraction in the bone or whatever, and then the thing doesn't heal. There's a problem there. Now, the word of God can actually go in the body. You can send the word of God there. According to this Psalm 107:20, you send the word of God. You know, when you receive that word or you speak that word into your bones and your marrows, according to Hebrews 4:12, we can actually take the word of God and use it literally, not just symbolically. You know, most of the time we think the word of God is symbolic. You know, when he says the word, God sent his word and healed them, we think it's some symbolic thing or gesture. No. You can literally take it literally. You can do the same thing. You speak to your bones. You can speak to your marrows. You can speak, you know, to the inside of you. You know, we use this in our family all the time. Speak the word of God into the bone. Speak into the marrow. Speak it into that situation that's inside the body. The natural eye may not be able to see it, but we're told that, you know, the word of God can also be, you know, like, can create spiritual diagnosis. And we talked about that yesterday, of the heart. Well, the word of God can also do some clinical diagnosis in our body. You know, that's what we want to talk about today. Yeah, it has spiritual impacts to our heart and different things. Well, let's talk about the clinical impact it can have in our body. You know, it can be so, so powerful if we recognize, you know, how to use that. Let's read Proverbs 4, you know, verses 20 to 22. See what, you know, the scripture talks about how the word of God can have clinical effect in our body. It says, "My son, attend to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart." Yeah, that's our heart again. You know, for they are life. Remember, today's lesson is using the word of God for healing and abundant life. So it says here, the word of God, life to those that find those words. Well, find means some kind of research, activity, looking. We've been talking about these forever. Search the scriptures to find what relates to the circumstances that you are in. Now, the word of God says these words are life to them that find those words, and health, that's right, to all their flesh. You know, see how it can bring, you know, health to your body. The word of God is right here. It's the, can be health to your body. Well, but how can it be health to your body? Is it that you're going to put the pillow, I mean, the Bible under your pillow so that it can bring health to your body? You know, that's how unlearned people deal with the word of God. They think that putting the pillow somewhere, the, you know, Bible under their pillow, that's going to help them. That's not going to help you. You've got to read this word. You got to digest it and take it inside. Speak it to your bones. Speak it to your spirit. Speak it to your heart. And when it goes in there, you know, it can function. It can function properly also. So take heed to the word of God, he says. Don't let it depart from your eyes. That means reading. You got to read the word, you know. Keep it inside you. Meditate upon it all the time. And even speak it. And it has the power. It carries the same power that God used with his word to bring things forth in Genesis. It's still in the word of God today. Well, you just have to know how to use it. And that's how the keys of the kingdom. You got to know how to use it. If you know how to use the word, the power that's in the word of God, speak that even over your body, even over your flesh, you know, inside you, can give you many, it can bring relief. It can bring healing. It can bring many things, you know. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 7. We're talking about life. The word of God. Or living, even. It says, Proverbs 7 and verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. So the word of God can also actually bring life. You know, Moses used to tell them, you know, that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days upon the earth. You know, keep the word of God so that these blessings of long life and wellness happen to you. You know, keep my commandments and live. You know, let my law be like the apple of your eye. Bind them, you know, upon the table of your heart. That's right. You know, this is the word of God. You know, what is it going to do for you? Well, it can be health to your bones and to your marrows. Health is what we need when our body is not responding to physical conditions properly. And we need wellness. We need health. Sometimes you need rest. If your body is, if you overworked or whatever, God showed us how to rest at the end of the day and so on. And if we don't do that, you know, we can wear down the defense systems of the body. And then, well, the body has the ability to replenish. If you just give it some time, just rest. You know, sometimes when people are sick, they have a little cold, you go to the doctor. There's actually some doctors that are not just medical doctors only, or, you know, they are wellness doctors. You know, they are for the whole body and, you know, wellness of your being. I had a doctor like that, my primary doctor like that. He would tell you, if you come to him when you have a cold or anything like that, I'm not going to prescribe you anything. You know, I loved that doctor. He never prescribed anything. He would just tell you, go home, get some rest. You know, and get some rest. Maybe drink some juice, whatever, chicken soup or whatever. You know how the saying goes. But he does. He's not one of those doctors that just prescribe things anyhow. I loved him. I loved the man. You know, he would just tell you, you know, get some health. I mean, get some rest, you know, as you know, your body needs rest. That's why your defense systems are weak and you're getting all this stuff. You get some rest. Your body will take care of itself. My goodness. You know, and listen to this in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 8. We see how the body can respond to the word of God. You know, when you listen to it and use it for yourself. Let me read it from verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to your bones. It'll even give you more marrow. Now, the marrow is needed to, you know, produce blood and cells and different things. But, you know, the fear of the Lord, the word of God in your heart, this is the man to whom I will look. He that is contrite and fears and trembles at my word, you know, and so forth. These things will bring stuff inside you. So when you speak the word of God to the health situation that you are going through, it can be so powerful. You know, we read a story of Jesus. When Jesus comes in, he's doing many things. People are wondering, what manner of man is this? That even his word has so much power, even over the elements. You know, in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8, they see that Jesus can speak to things. You know, he speak to elements, can speak to storms. He has power over sicknesses and diseases. Is it, you know, I mean, what is this? People have recognized it. Even the centurion, he recognized it. And he said to Jesus, he said, look, send your word and it will heal my servant. It's the same exact thing in Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and he healed them. You know, he said, look, you don't even need to come. Just send your word. Send your word. What manner of man is this? Well, the centurion knew what manner of man Jesus was. He used his own, you know, he understood that, look, I myself being a commander of soldiers, I have 100 soldiers under me. I say to one, go, he goes. I say to one, come, he comes. I mean, whatever I say goes, they do it. Got the authority of Rome. So he said, look, I know, you know, that you can speak. See, centurion couldn't speak to sicknesses and diseases. He could speak to his own servants. They would obey him, but sickness and disease would not obey him because he didn't know how to do that. So he comes to the one that knows how to do it. He said, you send your word. And it will heal my servant. Servant maybe, I don't know, maybe a mile or miles away. But just send your word. It's the same thing in Psalm 107. You know, send your word and it will heal my servant. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In this same chapter of Matthew 8, we see that the word of Jesus has power over sickness, even at a distance. And we saw that in the story of this centurion, you know, that I was just, you know, talking about. You know, then we see that the Son of Man, he said, has power over many other things. A little while goes by, and there's a tempest in the sea, and Jesus is there with them and so forth. And, you know, they see that he can even speak to the wind, speak to the tempest, speak to situations. There may be something tempestuous in our body, something that's stirring up trouble inside your body. Well, Jesus used the word to calm the situation down. You know, use this word to calm down the raging sea. You know, calm down things that are flaring up in your health with the word of God. Yeah, that's how Jesus did it. And he said, what manner of man is this? that even the winds and the seas obey him. Well, what manner of man is this that even sickness at a distance, you know, obeying the servant of the centurion? He just sent his word and healed him like that. What manner of man is this? Well, his name is Jesus. And the Lord was trying to develop his disciples to be the same way. When he sent them out, he said, look, you go out and do these things that you've seen me do. Heal the sick, you know, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead even, cast out devils. Today, you know, Jesus wouldn't be talking about cleanse the lepers. Leprosy was a thing that was rampant in the days. Today, he'll be talking about, you know, heal cancer, leukemia, lymphoma, you know, diabetes, all these things. He would just be naming these things, you know, just like he was in those days. Go out there, cleanse the lepers, heal those who have cancer, heal cancers, you know, cast out devils. There are some devils, you know, that are behind some of these sicknesses. And you can't, there are certain things, ways that you bring some sickness and healing in some situations. Some of them you can use the word of God, some you can use medicine, some you can use wellness techniques. Some you have to cast out the infirm spirit that is behind that. Jesus demonstrated many times. There was a man that was blind, sick, and so forth. He had to cast out the devil, you know, but he did it. The word of God and the finger of God, you know, so we can use the word of God in the same ways as we see these scriptures to bring healing. There are some things that the scripture predicted even before Christ came of what he would do. Isaiah 55 verses 5 to 6 talks about Christ, you know, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and so on and so forth. You know, chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we are healed, you know. And then we see that in the writings of Peter, 1 Peter 2 and 24, he's referring to the same, quoting the same thing, by whose stripes, Isaiah said, by whose stripes you are healed. In other words, looking forward, it will happen. Peter used the past tense, by whose stripes ye were healed. Well, you were neither in the days of Isaiah nor in the days of Peter. You know, we are here today. Isaiah is gone. Peter is gone. But the word of God abides forever. And we can use the same word that Isaiah spoke then, that even Peter spoke then. Because the word of God abides forever. Say, the flower fadeth, the grass withereth, and so forth. But the word of God abideth forever. The word of God is with us today. We can use that word over our bodies. And there's some specific promises. This is how you use the word of God. Sending it to your body. You find the scriptures, as we always said, that relate to healing. Some of these we've already read. And then there's the, you know, there's Exodus 15 and 26. Powerful scripture. There's Exodus 23 and 25. I want to read the scriptures. You read the scriptures to yourself. When you speak them to yourself, they actually work. You know, we compiled some scriptures. We found some scriptures. We compiled some more. And we send them to people at times. My wife and I call them 31 healing scriptures. Yeah. Use the scriptures daily. We're finding that in our own lives, we've done it and it worked. And telling people that, look, you can use this word of God. Speak it to yourself every day. Speak the word of God. If you are dealing with wellness situations, well, remember, the word of God can go into the joints and bones and marrows and so forth. Well, so you have to send that word there, you know, to where, you know, the shoe hurts or whatever. You know, ye shall serve the Lord your God, Exodus 23 and 25, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. You know, so even things that you eat or drink, you serve the Lord with gladness. He will bless those things. And he said, take away sickness from the midst of the... Now, midst can be among the people. It can also be from the inside. You can read it literally, you know, from the inside of you. There's some sickness that you can't see unless, you know, you do an MRI. Well, the Word of God can perform a spiritual MRI. You know, it can go inside, discern even the heart. You can do MRI even for the heart. You can do MRI inside the bones and the marrows. The Word of God is like that. It's powerful. You use the Word of God inside of you can bring things, you know, to life. There shall nothing cast their young. Ha! You know, that means we're not going to be having premature deaths. Glory to God. Nothing shall be barren. Ha! Glory to God. In thy land, in a number of days, a number of days will I fulfill. I mean, all these promises. Use those things to speak to your body. Now, we've been talking about using the Word of God to speak to mountains, situations, and so forth that may be external to your body. Today, I'm talking about using the Word of God to speak to your body, to your own inside. Digesting the Word of God, taking it. He said it will be health to your bones, marrows, and so forth. You know, like, you know, think of these scriptures, scripture nuggets as word or scripture snacks. Snack on them throughout the day, you know, especially when there's something wrong in the body that we need to deal with. Take some scripture snacks. And scripture snacks like, look, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You're speaking to your body. You say, look, did you know that the Lord is the one that heals you? You speak to that area that's inside your body that's now had disease or illness in it. Huh? It could be in your bones, it could be in your marrow, it can be in your intestine, it could be in your heart, it could be in your kidney, it can be in any organ of the body. Speak the Word of God to it. Praise the Lord. You know, and it can bring about healing. We're also going to talk about abundant life in a bit. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17 and verse 14, we use this Word of God, you know, to bring, remember, the Word of God, it can change situations. Praise the Lord. And then you speak to yourself. You receive healing. This was a prayer that Jeremiah prayed. He said, well, heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Well, if you read before that, you know, it says, you know, in Jeremiah 2 and 13, he talked about the people haven't departed. He said, committed two evils. They've departed from the Lord. I, who am the fountain of living waters, you know, I'm the one you drink from this that I give you, have health in your body. Jesus said it also to people. He said, look, I will give you something that you drink of it. You will not thirst again. It will spring forth inside of you, living waters. And he said, look, the hope of Israel, the fountain of living waters, is the one that can bring you this help. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. You know, that's what people should be doing, but they don't do it. You know, well, you can actually use this verse in a different directive. Instead of saying, heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. You can say, thank you, Lord, because you have healed me and I will be healed. Because by his stripes, ye were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. So rather than just saying, heal me, Lord, and I'll be healed, you say, Lord, thank you because you have healed me and I am healed. Glory to God. And then you act like you are healed. You know, if you are healed, then get up from that bed already. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus, the early apostles and so forth, they tried to enact these things. Like Peter, you know, if he tells the man, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, you know, he's not going to just wait around, see if the man's going to rise up and walk. He's going to get a hold of the man, pull him up by the hand to make sure the man actually, because the man is thinking, how the world can I rise up and walk? I've been like this forever. So after speaking that word to that man's situation, Peter actually pulled him up by the hand. Pull him up, rise up and walk. Get up from your bed already. You know? And thou art my praise, Lord. You tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, for healing me, for thou art my praise. For by your stripes I'm already healed. There's a lot of things that Jesus did for us, you know, during those days of his passion, those hours of his passion. Even the beating that he took, we're told that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. The beating was what created the stripes. When people think of the stripes to give them the healing. Well, what about the beating? You know, if he wasn't beating, those stripes were like scars, would not have happened to him. But it was the beating that guaranteed your peace. His chastisement was for your peace. Anything that troublesome in your life, Jesus already paid the price, you know, through the beating that he received. Chastisement of our peace laid upon him. For our peace laid upon him. Now you speak these things. Speak these things to your body. Speak health. Speak life to your body. The Lord said in Jeremiah 30:17, he said, I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds. Well, you take that scripture and you speak it to yourself. You say, hear the word of the Lord. You can speak to some area in your body. Maybe there's a wound. Maybe there's even internal bleeding. You can speak to it. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, I have healed you. And you can say it even in the past tense. I have healed you. Speak to yourself. Thus saith the Lord, I have healed you, you know, of thy wounds. And I am restoring your health. Speak the word of God to you. Holy Spirit will give you inspiration of how to use the word of God in any situation that you are in, and speak it to yourself. You can use the word of God in many ways. Use it to bring healing over sicknesses. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all my iniquities, and who healeth all my diseases? Well, how's the Lord going to heal your diseases? You know, through the word. He sent his word, and he healed them. You know, and deliver them out of all their destructions, anything that destroying your body. You know, and, you know, the Lord is the one that heals even not only physical sickness, mental sickness, emotional sickness. He heals them all. You know, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. People are depressed, broken. Their heart is broken. You know, mental, you know, oppression and so forth. The Lord can bring that healing. And you use it, you know, to deliver yourself, you know. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. So you use this word of God for your situation. You know, the Lord wants us to be healthy, you know. And he wants us to declare you know, the healing powers and the abundant living. I'm going to speak about abundant living now for just a bit. Abundant, what is abundant living? Well, you can find a lot of verses in the Bible that can help us for living an abundant life every day. Sometime back, I gave an acronym for Bible. Yeah, since Sunday school days, people have heard the acronym for Bible. Basic instruction before leaving earth. I never liked that. You know, why are we focused on leaving the earth? Why are we not focused on why we are here on earth? I mean, so many teachings are all about when we leave the earth, when we get to heaven and so forth. What's that all about? You know, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to need these things. You know, I need these things now. You know, so here's my own acronym for the Bible. Basic instruction book for living every day. It's not because before you leave her, it's for everyday living. Right now, I'm using the word of God, you know, to get an advantage. You know, it's not, you know, something I'm storing up for when I get to heaven. What good is it when I get to heaven? You know, I already got the victory. All these distresses are over. You need the word of God now to gain the victory. You know, so think of the Bible as a book that contains instructions for healthy living, for living every day, for abundant life today, and not just prepare you for leaving the earth. So it does that too, but Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, look, the thief, when he comes, he has a mission. His mission is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Well, I also have a mission, Jesus said. My mission is to give you life and give it to you more abundantly, not sparingly, not just narrowly, not just you're barely surviving. I want you to thrive in life. Jesus said these things. Abundant living. Praise the Lord. You know, so once we know that, well, that was the mission that Jesus came to give us or came to do, how do we benefit out of that? Well, listen to this. In Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 24, the inhabitants of that kingdom, of the land, the promised place, the kingdom of God, we are in it now. Think of it that way. They shall not say, I am sick. I need to be saying that. They need to be saying, I am healed. When you are sick, you say, I'm healed. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the sick say, I'm healed. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Say it. You know, you know, you say, well, I mean, you know, how can you, when you are poor, say you are rich? Jesus said, no, you are already rich. You only thought you were poor. You know, he said that to some church in the book of Revelation. I said, yeah, you thought you are poor, but you're actually rich. Now, another church that thought they were rich, he told them, well, you're actually poor. you know, he said, look, you think you are in poverty, but you are rich. You know, so, and you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Although he, being rich and the owner of all things, he traded places with us, gave up his riches, that we through his poverty now can be rich. Have you ever thought about how Jesus came and the way he was born and all these things and the kind of family he grew up in, the kind of place, you know, he lived in? You know, those places, humble beginnings, you know, it was not any pomp and show. He gave all that he had, being creator of all things, gave that all up, you know, and just try to live a normal life. You know, the reason, as a reason why the scriptures were silent about the first 30 years of Christ, except for one time when he was age 12 and they were looking for him and they didn't know that he wasn't there because their families were so large. And the time they figured I wasn't there, they went back to look for him. 3 days had passed. They found him in the temple talking to lawyers and stuff. And he said, look, I got to be about my father's business. Apart from that, it was silent. Why? You know, because, you know, the Lord was trying to show us that he lived an ordinary life. You know, there was nothing spectacular to be recorded. That's why it wasn't, there wasn't anything. He just left that alone. Just lived an ordinary life. Just there, just like everybody else, you know, as his custom was, we're told that as his custom was, he went to the synagogue, you know, which means he was always going to the synagogue, was his custom. So he went there. It wasn't every day that he stood up for to read, but it was his custom to go. So when he was growing up, he was going to the synagogue. He probably would sit down there. They were reading the Torah and all these things, and he just was sitting down there, just learning, soaking these things in like an ordinary person. You know, these are all the things he gave up. He gave up his pomp and show. He gave up this, you know, his position as the Son of God. Gave that up. Called himself Son of Man. You know, he traded that for us, that we may have life in him. Praise God. And it starts by us using the Word of God. Now, of course, the Word of God will also teach you, you know, responsibility that you have in taking care of your health. There are health laws in this Bible. But beyond that, it is not God's will for us to be sick. I wish above all things, 3 John verse 2, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's what God wants. You know, God wants us to be in health. Does Jesus want to heal us, or is it the will of God for us to be sick? Now, sadly, you know, when something is not working, when somebody is sick and they're praying and they're not getting healed, people resign into thinking, well, maybe it's the will of God. Or maybe it's a cross that I need to carry. Why? You know, why would you need to carry the cross for which Jesus already paid for the healing? You know, well, you say, well, you make that sound easy. No, it's not easy. It's a battle. But you have to contend for the faith that was delivered to us when Peter said you were already healed. You got to contend for it. If I'm already healed and then I'm sick, I've got to contend for the fact that I'm already healed. I can't just sit down and then be sick and accept that. I can't do it. Because the Bible says that I'm already healed. Well, I'm already healed, but it doesn't look like it. Yeah, I know. That's why you have to use the Word of God. You send the Word of God into that situation. You say it. You keep repeating it over that situation. It works. Now, of course, at the same time, you are doing whatever you can do, right? Get some rest, do this, you know, maybe it's medical science tells you to do this and you know, do whatever. But, you know, at the same time, you're speaking the Word of God to that situation. Now, is it the will of God that we should be sick, you know, and so forth? Or what? There's a story in Matthew chapter 8. This Matthew chapter 8, powerful, you know, lessons there. This man, one man, came to Jesus who was a leper, a leprous. Maybe today it would be leukemia, it would be one of these common diseases, whatever. It didn't matter. He came to Jesus. He said, well, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me. Now, the man knew that Jesus had the power. What he wasn't sure about was, is it the will of God? Would Jesus really want to heal me? I know he can, but will he want to? So he came to Jesus. I said, look, I know you can heal me, but I'm not sure if you would want to. Now, that's like many of us today when we are facing situations like this, either for yourself or your loved one. We're not sure. We know he can do it, but we're not sure if he even wants to do it. Maybe it's a cross he wants us to carry. You know, whatever. You know, people have all these strange ideas, you know. But Jesus says to the man, you know, before the man even started, you know, he said, look, I will. Because, look, he wants to put, these stories are there in the Bible for us to see it. Anytime you feel like, is it the will of God that I should be healed or my loved one should be healed? It is God's will. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Jesus told the man, I will. Because the man knew he could, but he wasn't sure if he wanted to. Didn't know if Jesus wanted to or whether it was the will of God. You can ask it this way. Is it God's will for me to be healed in this situation that I'm going through? Which is basically what the man was asking. Is it your will that I should be healed? Or is it some cross that I need to carry? I mean, if you believe it's a cross that you need to carry, well, then Jesus will give you the grace. And some people have faith to believe for grace to carry the cross of sickness. Jesus will give you the grace. Other people, you know, exercise their faith to believe for grace to receive healing. And Jesus will give you the healing. I mean, Jesus is beautiful for every situation. If you want grace for pain management, he will give you the grace. If you want grace for healing, getting to the root cause of that pain, he will give you the grace. You know, whatever, you know, ask and you shall receive. Now, because of lack of proper teaching, sometimes we think that, well, you know, if I can just endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, endure sickness and disease and so forth. Sickness and disease. Now, there may be situations in life that you have to deal with, but not sickness and disease. The inhabitants of that kingdom shall not say, I am sick. Now, we may need little helpers in life to help us stay healthy, you know. But generally speaking, the kind of sickness that immobilizes you, it's not the thing that we should carry. Jesus sent his word to a man's servant that was far away and healed that man in the same hour. Many times he did that. The woman whom we call the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus, and Jesus said, I can't take children's bread to give to dogs and so forth. Her daughter wasn't with her, but she was asking for her daughter. And Jesus said, well, go. It is so, you know, and it was so. I mean, whether the person was physically there or not, Jesus would send his word and it would take care of that situation. And the Bible would record and say in the same hour, it took care of that situation. Now, if Jesus can take care of situations that are miles away, what about situation that is right inside of you? You know, the word of God can be sent to somebody miles away and heal them. What about you? You know, so an abundant life also means that we have access. You know, we're not chasing these things, but you have access. These things are coming to you. Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 6. He said, look, people spend their lifetime, the heathen that don't know anything about God, this is what they are, the things they are chasing. So you should not be like that. In fact, I'm not, you know, in one place he told them, look, except your righteousness exceed righteousness of the Pharisees. You can't get in there. You got to live at a higher standard. You can't live like the heathen. You can't live like the Pharisees. I'm going to tell you how to do it. Your father knows those things you have need of. You should ask. ask in faith. But don't pursue those things. Pursue the things that please God. Things about his kingdom. Things about his righteousness. Pursue those things. And your Father will bring these other things to come to you. Well, I don't know whether people actually take that literally. But if you do, it will happen to you. You can stay on the word of God, in the pursuit of the things of God, and God will be showing you ways that things will come to you in dromedaries, in chains. God will supply your needs. Now, sometimes part of that will be God giving you wisdom how to position yourself. You know, praise God. You know, there are many things that we can learn from the scriptures. When God wants to bless us, sometimes you have to also be in the right place, with the right posture, the right, even physically, how God will, you know, show you. There are things that, you know, if we learn how to ask God questions in every situation, there's a lot of things that we can avoid. I mean, David was a man that learned and knew how to ask questions in every situation. Ask God. I mean, things that he shouldn't even be asking, he would ask. You know, in the story of 1 Samuel chapter 30, Ziklag, when they, you know, they are coming there, taking their, you know, Amalekites or whatever, coming there, bombed the place, taking their families, wives, sons, daughters, captive, and everything. David was there, found, asking the Lord if he should pursue. Most of us will not even ask. These are your family, your wife, your children. What are you asking about? Of course, you got to go after them. No, not David. David would first of all ask, you know. And, you know, when he was pursuing after the Philistines, he would ask. When the Lord said, yeah, pursue, you will overtake them. He will go out and he will win the victory. And then the Philistines will come back. You would think that David will say, well, the Lord told me to pursue. And then he will pursue. No, he will say, that was then. Today, I've got to ask the Lord. He was always, I'll ask. You go back. And then this time the Lord said, no, this time you will not pursue. But I'm going to give you a different strategy this time. See, that's the secret to abundant living. You cannot just stay on yesterday's instruction. Well, sometimes some of us don't even have yesterday's instruction because we never asked the Lord. That's what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says. It's a secret. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He said, look, don't think that you got it all figured out. You know, don't think so. Ask the Lord. At every time, he has given us the Holy Spirit for exactly that. Holy Spirit is there to give us instruction, to guide us through life. You know, listen to this. Be not wise in your own eyes. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. We read it earlier. Be healthy your bones. You know, don't think you got the answer. You know, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Bring it to pass. You know, these are the secrets of abundant living. These are the secrets of good success. Meditating on the word of God. Letting it never depart from your heart, your eyes, and so forth. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Thou shalt have good success. Based on keeping the word of God, you know, front line and center before your eyes and thinking about it, speaking the word. Speak the word when you sit down. Speak the word when you lay down. Speak the word. Write it upon the doorposts of your house. Psalm 1, you know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What will happen to him? He will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. He will have no dry season. Ha! Huh? Glory to God. Now you have it. No dry season. You know, in the dry season, things are falling apart. Most trees that are not connected to the source, they wither. Their leaves wither and they produce nothing because they are not connected to the source. They're just waiting for some rain. They have some rain, they flourish. They don't have rain, they dry out. But this tree is connected to the source. And he's never out of season, you know, never out of season. The life that Jesus wants us to live is abundant life that is never out of season. Praise the Lord. That's why in the story of Mark 11, I can't get away from that story. I've told it sideways, upside down, every which way. It's so powerful. Jesus didn't care about seasons. The tree, in its own defense, we're told it was not yet the time for figs. It's not yet time. How can you come there looking for fruit? It's not yet time. A tree is arguing. Even the writer of that gospel is arguing in his writing that it was not yet time for figs in the defense of the tree. But Jesus, he comes there. There is no such thing as season. You are either producing or you are not producing. You're finished, you know. So there is no this business of being seasonal. And sometimes we talk about the season of your breakthrough. I mean, we preachers, we love to use that because it attracts people. It's your season of your breakthrough. It's this and that, you know. And if you put out a message that you are going to speak on season of breakthrough, a lot of people will come because everybody loves to hear it. But you see, that is actually only partly accurate. It's not completely accurate. Yes, God does appoint times and seasons. God does actually say that the time to favor his people has come. So in a way, you know, you can think of that stuff. But God is not a seasonal God. If you have faith, you can tap in to the access. You can tap in and access the things of God at any time, even dispensationally. You can pierce the veil of time. Dispensationally, the Syrophoenician woman was kept out. It is not yet time. I'm only here for the children of Israel. I cannot give this stuff to dogs. Dispensationally, she was kept out. But the woman would not be denied. See, even you can cross, you know, boundaries, protocols, dispensations by faith. You can pierce all that stuff. But some people are kept outside by these protocols, laws, dogmas, decrees and stuff. Oh, it's not yet time. Oh, it's not the season. Oh, whatever. Well, yeah, it will not be the season. Because as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. If you say it's not the season, then it's not the season. That's it. But if you want abundant living, you got to believe that you are connected to the source. But you got to stay connected. The word of God is the source of life. John chapter 6 and verse 63. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. It is the word of God that gives you even life. It's the word of God that gives you motivation, inspiration, that spirit. You know, the word of God is everything. If you stay connected to that word, prove me now here we say it, the Lord. Try this word and see. Use this word and see. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme overnight. There's no such thing. But you stay with it consistently, you find out that it works. God will change. God has shown many times throughout the scriptures that he can do something immediately. I love that word. I say immediately this happened. But then sometimes it's sustained trust. Can you trust God through the storms? Can you trust God through the season, journeys where it looks like nothing happening? When you are in a place called Lodabar, nothing happening. Can you trust God that the word of God will come and fetch you? Praise God. You can also accelerate the process by you yourself, not just being passive, but being active. Don't be a passive receiver of the word of God. Be an active user. You know, engage. Jesus said, you know, don't engage in the flesh. Engage in the spirit. The words I speak, they are spirit and life. The flesh profits nothing. Engage in his word. When you are engaging in the word, you are doing Psalm 103 verse 20. That's a part of the secret to abundant living. I teach this all the time. Angels are waiting. God already gave them command, but the command is very simple. You have your orders. Because the Lord showed it to me one time. Why are these angels just bored, doing nothing? Some of them are flying up and down. Say to one of them, do something. Why are you just standing there? I say, well, I have my orders. What do you mean you have your orders? Has not the Lord given you charge to do this? I have my orders. You just keep repeating that. You know, their orders were real simple. You know, they have their orders. You cannot make the angel of the Lord do anything. He has his orders. Even, you know, Joshua, he saw an angel of the Lord. I had a sword. Now, Joshua, Moses had the rod and the staff or whatever. Joshua had the sword. Joshua is not messing around. He carry a sword. He's ready to engage. Saw a man carrying a sword. Goes to him and engages. Are you here? Tell me right now. Are you here for our enemies or for us? Like I know. Yeah, he's ready to engage. You know, the man said, no. Now Joshua asked two questions, but the man said, nay. So both of them. Are you here for us or for our enemies? He said, no. I have my orders. I am here as a captain of the Lord's army. I have my orders. It's not about you. It's not about this. It's not about your enemies. It's not about, I have my orders. So that's how it works. And he has the orders. And these angels, they have their orders. Their orders explained to us in Psalm 103, verse 20. It's a secret to getting things moving in your life for abundant life. It's knowing when to release the word over your situation. It can be for your health. It can be for other things. You know. So, it says, praise the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength. They are trained. They excel in strength. They are in a different category. You know. That do his commandments. They have their orders. What are the commandments? They are orders. And what is it? Well, the order is hearken to the voice of God's word. That's the orders. They already have it. When they speak my word, then you go to it and see that it happens. Those are their orders. Now, until you speak his word over the situation, angel is just folding his arms looking. And I'm saying to the angel, do something. I say, no, I have my orders. What do you mean you have your orders? But do something. He said, no, I have my orders. Oh, I didn't know what the orders were. All he just kept saying is, I have my orders. And I said, well. So finally, I figured out this Psalm 103 verse 20. And, see, that's it. They have their orders. You know, but you can make something, you can bring a shift. We're not directly commanding angels. Some people say command angels do this. No, we're not doing that. None of that stuff. You have to do things according to the word of God. The word of God is what you release. You know, never mind the angels. Angels don't report to you. They work for you and on your behalf, but they report to someone else. Have their orders. Yeah, but you, all you got to do is speak the word of their master. What their master already instructed them is, look, you be listening. When they speak my word, then you go there and see to it. And then so, most of the time, these angels are bored. They're just folding their arms, doing nothing. Because you're not releasing the word. You're not releasing them to do something. You know, you release them to do something by you releasing the word of God over that situation. Then they will go to see to it. It's a sickness situation. You keep releasing the word of God. If it's a situation, a barrier, a process in your life that is barren or barrier or, you know, devil have put all kinds of things that's not working. Begin to speak the word of God to it and continue to speak the word of God until you change. Say Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 7. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. and give him no rest. Praise God. That's how you do it. God actually loves it when we do that. You know, so challenge the Lord. The Lord will say, look, ask of me and I will give you rain. He will say, look, ask of me, even command ye me concerning the works of my hands. Say it. You know, and certain things that God will not do until you begin to speak the word to release it. That's just how things work in the kingdom. It's a part of the keys. So today's lesson is about using the word of God primarily for your health and also for your well-being, abundant living, so that you are not barely just surviving. It's not you're going spending all your living on doctors. There was a woman with the issue of blood. We're told that she had spent all her living on doctors, but nothing got better. You know, so that's not, look, why should I walk all these things, stay up late, rise up early and all that, only to eat the bread of affliction? No, you know, I'm not going to put all my living to pursue doctors. That's not abundant living. Inhabitants of the land shall not say, I am sick. When you are sick, you will say that I am healed. But that's what the word of God says. Say it like you mean it. And expect it when you say it. Nothing doubting. Now that's our Amen acronym. And I'm going to end today's lesson with that. Remember, Amen acronym brought to you on this platform. Probably didn't hear it anywhere else. As A is for affirm the word of God. M is to mean it when you say it. E is to expect what you say. And N is nothing doubting. Every time you say amen, that's the thing that you're doing. And if you can believe it, you can say it. Now, here's what the Lord, this is the confidence that I have in the Lord when I bring these lessons. Why am I so confident? Well, let me read it to you and then I'll pray over the room. In the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 44, let me read to you the confidence, not in myself, you know, but here's the confidence I have. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone. I spread it out the earth by myself. I didn't need any help then. I don't need any help now. I did all this by myself. You know, that frustrated the tokens of the liars and make diviners mad. Turn it even wise men backward and make their knowledge foolish. That's what God will do. But here's the confidence that I have when I release the word of God. He said, that confirmeth the word of his servant. Especially when his servant is speaking his word. It's like a circle. God said it first. Then you say it. Then God makes sees to it that it happens. It's like, you know, it's going like around like that. You know, confirmeth the word of his servant. Now, if I have spoken the word of God today, just like any day, then the Lord is going to confirm it. This is the confidence. Yeah. The Lord said, I'll confirm the word of my son. Did he send me? Absolutely. Is he going to confirm the word? Oh, absolutely. So I pray over the room right now. This is the confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, you also can have that confidence. 1 John 5:14-15. If we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And because he's hearing us, we are confident that we receive our petitions from him. I am also confident today, according to this word, that the Lord confirms the word of his servant. Now, this word that brought to you today by the Holy Spirit, teaching you that you use the word of God to speak to your health, use the word of God to speak to your life circumstances, to bring forth abundant life, the Lord will confirm this word. Glory to God. Prove me now, here we say the Lord. Use my word and see if I will not back it up. But use it according to the principles of the word of God. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for your people that are listening in today and those that may be listening later on. We have released your word, and your word is forever settled in heaven. You've taught us, Lord, how to use this word to speak to situations even inside our body. Health needs. Speak the word of God to that thing. It will be health to your bones, health to your marrows. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord also said in the book of Joel, chapter 3, the last verse, he said, I will cleanse your blood, which hitherto has not been cleansed. How is he doing? The word of God. Send it into those bones and those marrows. Create new blood cells. I come against spirits of sickle cell anemia. Sickle cell anemia, something went wrong. An enemy had done this. The Son of Man sowed good seed. An enemy came in there and sowed evil seed. Sickle cell anemia is a killer. But all those blood cells on the bone marrows and everywhere, I speak. You can do the same. Speak the word of God. If you have that sickle cell, you never had it. If the enemy brought it upon you, don't even receive it. Reject it. If you've been diagnosed, is the correct thing. Can't say if you have it because you don't have it. Because the inhabitants of the land will not say I'm sick. So if you've been diagnosed with that, speak the word of God into your bones and your marrows. I will create. I will renew. I will refresh even your blood. I will renew. I will cleanse, the Lord said. Let there be cleansing in the name of Jesus. You have leukemia, cancer of the blood cells. Speak to those cells in Jesus' name. You have lymphoma, you have whatever, any carcinomas and so forth. No matter what they are called, I come against them with the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. You can do the same. Diabetes, high blood sugar, all these things going wild in your body. Use the wisdom of God, but also speak to that situation. Bring the storms down. Say, what manner of man is this that can speak to the storms? Bring those storms down in the name of the Lord Jesus. Some of you have testimonies. I want to hear your testimonies. Using the word of God to bring health and healing to our bodies and for abundant living. I give you, Lord, the praise. All the promises in the word of God are yours for the taking. And these promises are designed to change your DNA into the divine nature. You become more like God the more you know how to use these promises. Thank you, Father. I give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.